Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we are on a Thursday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Trade rumors everywhere today in the NBA, the draft tonight, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, NBA draft tonight. Four great prospects at the top. You don't get that very often. Four guys, look like they're all going to be special. And then you get down to 15, 18, 20 guys that will play and start within a couple years in the NBA. Good draft. Also, the Aaron Rodgers situation. The GM now of the Packers is talking. It is great to have you in. Peter King this hour. Joy Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing great. I love this drama in Green Bay.
Love.
Love it.
Now, I am not eating all day today. I have a little thing tomorrow I have to go to at a hospital. I'm fine. It's a guy thing. So I am working on fumes today and Gatorade. It's great to have you in. So yesterday, Aaron Rodgers, during our show, held his press conference. And, I'm watching all the shows yesterday and today, playing all the sound bites. There's only a couple that matter. And it's interesting. I thought that Aaron, by and large, was transparent. He was honest. He was smart. It was Aaron's press conference, his view on how things played out. That's just his view, but he was very good. Not a shock. Smart guy. Thoughtful. He would be very good. And then I went and watched the whole press conference, like 30 minutes long, right? And there is one part of it that Aaron is now perceiving himself as the general manager. I mean, I'm not the GM. I play football, but I'm right next to you. It's very interesting. This bite takes a while. He talks, it's started the press conference. He talks about certain players that weren't treated well by the front office of the Green Bay Packers. This is very important here.
Also, I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated. And just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys, many of them who weren't offered a contract at all or were extremely lowballed or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved.
I went and looked up all 12 of those players. They're not going to do this on most talk shows. We have a Packer fan on our staff. We looked up everything with all 12. The Packers made one major mistake. Aaron's right with Micah Hyde. He was a great Packer, and he was better after. He went to the Bills, was a Pro Bowl safety. They missed on Micah Hyde. You have a right in the NFL to make a mistake. You know, Bill Belichick's made several. Charles Woodson, I would have done what the Packers did. He was older. He was transitioning to safety. At that time in the NFL, you did not pay safeties big money. Remember, when he went to Green Bay, there wasn't a huge group of teams that wanted him. Green Bay said he's moving to safety. He's got some injuries. He's an older player. I would have done the same thing at the time with Charles Woodson. I'm not saying it's right, but I understand the decision. One other player, Casey Hayward, had a good rookie year with the Packers, was a nice player. He goes to the Chargers. He becomes a great player. I don't even blame the Packers for that. Sometimes, guys, we see this in basketball and football. Year three, year four, they pop. Casey Hayward's one of those. The Packers are like, we don't think you're worth that money. He goes to the Chargers, and he's great. 9 of the 12 decisions, I looked them all up. What the Packers offered, what the guy did when they left. 9 of the 12, the Packers made the smart, prudent football move. two of the 12, they kind of got burned. Micah Hyde, Casey Hayward. Charles Woodson, you could go either way, but the reasoning was very Belichickian, which is you move off a guy a year early than late. The greatest dynasty in league history built it that way, and Green Bay copied it. By the way, Tom Brady, who had no personnel leverage or opinion in New England, Wes Welker taken from him, Randy Moss taken from him, Danny Amendola taken from him. He wanted Chris Hogan. He left. Vince Wilfork gone. This is not the only player, star quarterback, who doesn't get to keep all his guys. This isn't baseball. It's a salary cap. So when Aaron says, these are my buddies, you can't have a roster full of buddies, overpaid old buddies in a salary cap league. 9 of the 11 players Green Bay made absolutely the right move, got burned on two. It's okay. Got it right. You know, they batted 85%. And Charles Woodson, I would have done the same move, but he didn't make a Pro Bowl at a different position later. It should also be noted that Aaron takes every penny possible. Do not blame him at all, but it is harder to keep everybody, including your buddies, when Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers take every penny. Well, what about Brady in Tampa? What about his buddies? Okay, let's talk about that. Tom Brady takes less money. He's a tiny cap hit. Well, his wife's a supermodel. Whatever. It doesn't matter. He doesn't take all the money. It allows Jason Light, the GM in Tampa, to maneuver more and get an Antonio Brown and a Gronk, Brady buddies, who, by the way, were both productive in the Super Bowl. So remember this. No matter how good you are at your first job, you often don't get all the leverage you want. Brady never did in New England. Aaron hasn't in Green Bay. Tom got it in his second job. By the way, I left a company, even though I was flourishing, I have more leverage here than there because this company recruited me after succeeding at that company. Aaron, if he went to Denver or Miami or Washington, would have more personnel power. It doesn't matter if it's a lawyer who's had a great career at a law firm. If another law firm recruits him or her, he or she will have more leverage at the new law firm, the second law firm that recruits them off their success. Tom had none of this. Tom had none of this. None. Until he went to Tampa and he says, okay, a bunch of people want me. I'll choose you, but I get leverage. And Aaron would get that in Denver. Aaron would get that in Washington. Even though Tom got to choose the team he went to, Aaron can't be traded anywhere. He'll retire. He even mentioned it during the press conference. So you got to trade Aaron to a legitimate team. And Aaron, if a team gives up a bunch of picks and players and draft picks to get him, they're going to listen to Aaron. They're going to treat him right because they want him to play as long as they can to validate the move. So let's be fair. The other player that Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not picking on him here, but the other player that Aaron Rodgers has mentioned, he didn't in that bite, is a receiver named Jake Kumerow. That was a separate bite. He was very upset. He was very good in camp, and Green Bay let him go. He went to Buffalo and had one catch with Josh Allen. One catch. Aaron's a great quarterback. He's not a GM, right? GMs don't throw the ball, and quarterbacks don't watch college tape for hours and hours and hours and hours. Both sides are at fault here, okay? Let's not make this into Aaron was brilliant and the Packers just treated 12 guys terribly. I simply don't buy that. All right, well, tonight is the NBA draft. Now, it's much different than the NFL draft. It always has been. The NFL, half the players in the NFL are undrafted. The NBA draft, most of your great players are in the top 15 picks. In fact, in the history of the NBA, only one player picked after number 15. One. Jokic, Denver's been an MVP. Generally, and this draft is no different, your stars will overwhelmingly be in the top 10 picks. But it's interesting who is picking tonight in the top four. Detroit 1, Houston 2, Cleveland 3, Toronto 4. 4 god-awful teams, and 3 are pathetically run. Tonight's draft is exactly why, year after year, I defend NBA players and their mobility. This draft has 4 guaranteed players. Let's talk about them. Jalen Suggs at Gonzaga. You could certainly make an argument to make him number one. Strong. He was a star quarterback in high school. Big body. Scores at the rim. Good leader. Smart kid. Athletic. Again, a football player. He's tough. He's physical. He led Gonzaga to the championship game. Getting better very fast. At times last year, he looked like an NBA player playing college. I love him. I'd probably take him number one. There's also Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State. Not a lot of guys come off the factory line looking like Cade Cunningham. He's a 6'8 point guard. The guy upstairs doesn't make a lot of those. He can shoot a beautiful three. He can score at the rim. He's going to be really hard to defend. Comes into college, 20 points right out of the gate. He's a special player. A lot of people think he'll go number one. The third player is Evan Mobley, who I watched a ton of at USC. They say he's Chris Bosh, but better on the defensive end. He's what NBA bigs look like now. He can run the floor. He can score. He can do the alley-oop. He can develop a nice touch. He can run. He plays like he's 6'6", but he's much, much taller. Look at nice-looking jumper. Very much Chris Bosh. He's gotten significantly better in the last 15 months. He is just scratching the surface. And number 4 is Jalen Green, who I've only seen on YouTube clips. He was a G League guy. He's the most athletic. He is fast and twitchy and athletic and explosive and all the things, a little Ja Morant, all the things you want. He probably has the highest ceiling. He's the most athletic. You and I didn't see him because he didn't play at Oklahoma State or USC or Gonzaga. He wasn't in the tournament, but he is a, in many eyes, the best athlete in the draft. And they will go to 3 horribly run teams and 1 team, Toronto, that's not, but they're rebuilding. This is why I defend NBA players. Okay? You and I work really hard in college, right? Or high school. And when we get out, because of that, a law student, a med student, a dental hygienist, anybody, you'll have choices. School teacher, 2 or 3 schools want you. And you can pick the best one. Here it's the opposite. The harder you work, the crappier organization you go to. That's why I doubt more than one of these 4. I mean, Detroit and Cleveland, please. Houston's a tire fire right now. Not historically, but now. Only Toronto, I would get drafted. And by the way, it is Canada. You know, even Steve Nash had a chance to go play in Canada and said, no thanks. So tonight, it'll be fun. 4 great players. There'll be another 5 or 6 that'll get drafted that will make all-star teams and be very interesting. It's the opposite of the NFL draft where half the league is undrafted. But this is tonight why I always defend kids, because I don't even know how I would tolerate the idea of having no choice where I go, being stuck there for 7 years, working in a bad environment. My whole career, I've had 5 different companies. 4 have been great. I don't ever talk about the one I didn't like, Tampa.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
How somebody says something matters. Words matter, especially when you're a public figure, you're a GM, you're a mayor. How you assemble the words matter. So Aaron Rodgers talked yesterday. The general manager, Brian Gutekunst, talked today. Now, this is going to be a very interesting soundbite I'm going to play. Randall Cobb is coming to the Packers. As I told you yesterday, I had 2 executives in the NFL say, That's a bad move. He's old. He's expensive. $10.4 million. He made a Pro Bowl 7 years ago. He's a diminishing player. Good guy. Good friend. But you're not. This is not going to be a highly productive player. Plus, the Packers already drafted Amari Rodgers from Clemson, who's a slot receiver. So this is one of these things Aaron wanted. Listen to how the GM answers this question. It matters. The order of the answer matters.
You guys made the decision after the 18th season not to bring him back in free agency. Is he really just here to make Aaron happy? Is that primarily the...
I think that's a big part of it. I think it's a big, you know, obviously without Aaron, I don't think we would probably be pursuing that. Reynolds is still a really good player. And seeing him last night just kind of reminded me, you know, what an impact he'll have in our locker room and for our football team. But, you know, this was a very important thing for Aaron, and that's why we did it.
He starts and finishes with, we're doing this because of Aaron. He's not talking to the Green Bay media there. He's talking to every GM in the league. This ain't my call. Because Gutekunst knows it's a bad move. They're up against the cap. $10 million for Randall Cobb? I got executives saying, what are they doing? Gutekunst is letting you know. Started it and finished saying, this is Aaron. We're doing this because of Aaron. Don't kid yourself. There's always a story behind the story. When people go to the podium, they're protecting themselves. These GM jobs and these quarterback jobs are the best in American sports. This is for Aaron. This is Aaron's call. We wouldn't do it without Aaron. This is why I've always said this is going to be a weird season. Anytime there's an impending divorce, any relationship, man, woman, GM, quarterback gets less authentic, there's less trust, and the minute there's failure, finger pointing. Let's just say the offense sputters, Devontae Adams hurt, and Randall Cobb can't quite do what you paid him to do. This was Aaron's move. This is Aaron's move. This is Aaron's guy. And by the way, when Aaron was asked about Gutekunst later, remember yesterday, here's what he said.
Aaron, how would you characterize your relationship with Ryan Gutekunst, where that is today? And was there ever a point this offseason where you asked for his removal from the show?
No, and I would say it's professional at this point.
Okay, so you've got actually both Aaron and the GM, you know, drawing a line in the sand. This is Aaron's player, and Aaron's saying it's just professional. It's not great. Okay, this is why the over-under on the Packers, a team that keeps winning 13 games, is 10. It's not because the Bears are going to be great. It's not because the Lions are going to be great. It's not because the Vikings are going to be great. They probably go 5-1 or 6-0 in division. I thought that was very interesting. The GM was telling every other GM in the league, we wouldn't do it without Aaron. This is Aaron's. He might as well have just come up and said, listen, this is not my call. I would not do this. Just invert the words. I wouldn't do it. This is not something I would do. I'm not interested. It's not a good deal. He's a nice guy. They put that, he's a good player, is quickly in the middle. Begins and ends with, I wouldn't do this. Just something to think about. This is a intense and potentially very tense year coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
So, you know, every Monday we do something called Colin Was Right, Colin Was Wrong. I have strong opinions. I think it's only fair that I admit I occasionally whiff. Just occasionally. Rare and frequent. But this one will be my Colin Was Right of the week. I said one of the things Aaron is doing during this 4 or 5 months, you know, post Super Bowl until now, is not talking about it. He'd use his media buddies or surrogates to spread the gospel so he could come back and say, when there's resolution, hey, the media, yeah, make stuff up, a lot of... So one of the first things Aaron said yesterday was this.
What would you say is the biggest misconception about this entire process?
That the media loves to make stories when there's not enough content to put out there. Look, I realize, you know, there were times I could have said something, but I firmly believe that there is wisdom in silence. And also, I love this city, this organization, and I didn't want to get into a pissing match with a team that's employed me for 16 years, paid me a lot of money.
Okay, we didn't make stuff up. How do I know that? Because you sat at a podium, for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. You had a statement, you fielded questions, and you transparently told of many situations, most of them we wrote about or talked about, and your unhappiness. You spent 30 minutes detailing all your disagreements. That's why we've talked about it. If Aaron would have walked up and said, I'm great, I'm all good, he didn't. I mean, here's just one example of him detailing the multiple differences in conversations for months he had with Green Bay in the front office.
When the money came at me, the other part is, the backstory to that is, you know, after the season, there was a part of me that did think that there would be conversation about an extension, you know, based on my cap number this season, next season. It seemed natural based on the way I played to at least have a conversation about it. It wasn't a conversation, not until into May. And that to me seemed like an analogy that you guys understand. You guys have a fantastic year at work. You write some great stories. You go to your boss and say, I just had an incredible year. I think I deserve a pay raise or, you know, some security. And the boss says, yeah, let's just see how it goes. A couple months down the line, you get another job opportunity. You go back to your boss and say, hey, I got this amazing job opportunity. And say, whoa, no, we love you. We want you to, we do want you to stick around. We do care about you. Just have the same feeling.
Does that sound like we made stuff up for the last 3 months? No. By the way, he references, then another team shows real interest in you. As he said to the journalist, you get a job offer. What's he talking about? According to a report out of Minnesota, Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings, very well connected. Paul's a pro. He's been doing this for years. The morning of the draft this past year, the Niners tried to trade for Aaron. Packers refused, and Rodgers was furious. Remember what happened the day of the draft? The story dropped. All three big NFL reporters for networks simultaneously all dropped it. Aaron was mad. There's the story. We're not making stuff up. By the way, Aaron's been playing 13 years. I've never spent an offseason talking more about him. Why? There was no reason to. There were reasons to discuss Aaron. Okay? He just brought them up. He mentioned, and then he said to those journalists, you can relate to this. You had a great season. You want to raise. Then you go back and a team wants you. Oh, that's interesting. What team is that? According to a story, it was San Francisco. Who, by the way, was looking for a quarterback. Listen, there we speculate on this show. I've got a lot of time to fill. Columnists have columns to fill. But in this instance, let me defend the media. This is a real story. And there's real animosity right now. The GM doesn't like the quarterback. Quarterback don't like the GM. And it was talked about all day yesterday and all day this morning. We did not make this up. It's a powder keg.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I bring him on once or twice a year, super smart Rashad Phillips. He's an NBA and NCAA prospect specialist, played for 8 different countries overseas, tremendous college basketball player, owner of Sports Talk 2319. When it comes to the draft, he's the Yoda. He breaks it all down. And Rashad Phillips in Atlanta joining us live. All right, let's get to it. I would make my number one pick if it was me. I love Jalen Suggs. He was a football player. He's big. He's physical. He can score. He can shoot. I just think he's a guy I want running my franchise. Let's talk about Jalen Suggs, though. What is your feeling on him? Strengths, weaknesses?
I think he's a phenomenal player, and I talk from the leadership standpoint first. Obviously, being a former standout quarterback, he already comes with the qualities of being a great leader. His competitive nature, his will to win, play through injuries, that's what I love about him. Now, there's questions about his jump shooting and about his initiation. But when you just look at this kid overall, he's a can't miss prospect because, again, the leadership and the way he carries himself, it just speaks for itself.
Cade Cunningham, according to Woj, will go number one to Detroit. Now, it's interesting. He's a 6'8 point, so he jumps off the TV screen in college. He's just like magic. He just looks different than other kids. But when I watch him, I don't see a great athlete. Does that worry you at all?
Doesn't worry me at all, Colin, because there's an attribute that we don't put in scouting reports that should be in scouting reports, and that's craftiness. When you look at Cade Cunningham, what he brings to the table is a player that's super IQ. He understands angles. He can get places on the court. He doesn't have to beat you with speed and athleticism, but he beats you with great quickness and shift. He knows how to get around guys. And using that 6'8 frame and being physical, he's a terrific pick for the Detroit Pistons. Reminds me of Grant Hill.
Okay, now the kid that's obvious, you can just see on the film, Jalen Green is, wow, Ja Morant athletic. What do you like? What would you worry about with Jalen Green? Because he'll go in the top four.
Jalen Green is the best athlete. He's the most dynamic player in this draft. When you watch him on tape, it just screams at you. This kid has some Zach LaVine fabric. He gets in the lane. He's terrific over the defense. He flies over people. This is a player that I want to pay my hard-earned money to watch play. He's that exciting. Now, here's the things that I'm hearing from a lot of scouts. Can he stay consistent? Can he consistently knock down jump shots? I can answer that for you. I believe he will be one of the most exciting rookies that we've ever seen.
All right, let's go to a guy I've seen a lot of, Evan Mobley. About a year and a half ago, he was considered a second rounder. A year ago, he was a late first. Now there's arguments he could go number two. The people compare him to Chris Bosh. When I watched him, my takeaway was he's what modern bigs look like. He can run the floor. He's got soft hands. What do you make of him as a prospect?
Yeah, he's what I call a hybrid post. I mean, a rim runner. He has a terrific a skill set. He can knock down shots from the perimeter. He can catch the alley-oop. But the most important thing about Mobley is when you look at today's NBA, the bigs have to be able to switch out on those terrific perimeter scores in the NBA. I believe that Mobley can use his versatility on the defensive side of the ball and be an anchor. And he will be able to guard the perimeter. That's what makes him so attractive to NBA teams.
Okay, is there a player in this draft? It's a lot of American kids. It's not as international in the top 15 picks as usual. So is there a player that you think is a little under the radar that is not getting quite the pub? That because you've done this before. You've hit on some gems. You know, a lot of people, myself included, I doubted Trae Young. You loved Trae Young. You thought he was going to take over, and he did this year in the playoffs. Who's somebody out there you're like, you know what? People aren't seeing what I'm seeing.
There's two kids that stand out for me. One is Cam Thomas from LSU. I mean, this kid is fantastic. When you look at Cam Thomas, he has a dominant skill trait. And when a kid has a dominant skill trait, as an NBA team, you echo that skill trait, which is scoring the basketball. There's not enough second unit scores in the NBA. Cam Thomas epitomizes scoring the ball. Now, secondly, the other player is Trey Murphy out of Virginia. He's a kid that can knock down shots. Colin, he's a 50-40-90 player. He's a stretch big, has some Robert Horry type of fabric to him, 6'9", 6'8", can put it on the floor, but he's a shot maker. He's a shot taker. I look for him to be exciting as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Is there, if I said overall, it looks like to me there's some really good guards. And I think, you know, it's funny. I think it's a guard wing lead, and then all of a sudden Giannis takes it over. Is there anything about this draft? It looks like a very deep draft to me. Compare it to last year, the year before, the talent.
Yeah, this is a deep draft. I mean, I can go deep into the second round and find players that will maybe impact the NBA right away. I mean, you look at Jason Preston out of Ohio. There's just so many kids. And this is about the evolution of basketball. Like, we're watching evolution right before our eyes. Each year, the draft is going to get deeper and deeper because the kids get better and better. That's what we're witnessing.
Yeah, the bigs now can handle the ball. If you had the number one pick and you were Detroit looking at their roster, who would you pick and why, Rashad?
Look, I'm from Detroit. It's my hometown. I would have to go with Cade Cunningham because I lived through the Grant Hill era, and I believe Cade Cunningham will bring back the ghost of Grant Hill. He's not as explosive as Grant Hill. He's not as quick as Grant Hill, but he has the magnetism. He has the aura. He will be a phenomenal locker room presence. This kid studies film. He's a gym rat. That's what Detroit basketball is all about. They're getting off to the right start by grabbing this kid. He's tremendous.
You know, it seems to me most of these kids now are much savvier than years ago. I mean, it's really funny, the fact that they're watching film now. I'm like, that's like, that to me is remarkable. Has it changed in the 8-9 years you've been doing this?
Yeah, it just seems like, again, the kids are bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they jump higher, and it's funny though, you know, like I feel like a dinosaur. I haven't played in so long. I'm watching all these new type of players. I think it's just going to get richer and richer, which is great for the game. It's global now, and the NBA is as strong as it's ever been. I'm excited to just continue to watch it.
Yeah. All right, Rashad Phillips, NBA college basketball prospect specialist. I lean on him. He's terrific. You can follow him on Twitter. One of one podcast with Rashad. So he'd go with Cade Cunningham, who I think Woj said today, that looks like their pick, unless they make a big trade, and we shall see. Okay, Rashad, it's great as always. You do amazing work, and I trust your opinion, and thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Colin. Talk soon. All right. Tell Joy I say hello.
All right, Joy, he said hello.
Hello.
Knows his stuff. It's fun. I mean, drafts are fun.